You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. It's officially fall, and here in Wisconsin, it means we're headed toward the end of the growing season. But there are some easy ways to enjoy the remaining summer bounty well into the winter. Not just canning and freezing now, our guest says, but drying our produce. Teresa Maroney is the author of The Beginner's Guide to Making and Using Dried Foods. Preserve fresh fruits, vegetables, herbs, and meat with a dehydrator, a kitchen oven, or the sun. She joins us today from North Shore Community Radio, WTIP, in Grand Marais, Minnesota. Teresa, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
First question, why? Why dry?
Well, there's a number of reasons that you might want to do that. As you mentioned, this is a great time to preserve the harvest. And actually, now is a better time to dehydrate than earlier in the summer because our kitchens aren't quite so hot. And we save money by doing it. And another really big reason that people don't think about is for specialized diets, people that want to avoid sulfites, gluten that's so common in a lot of food. When you make your own dried foods, you can eliminate all of those things, and virtually all of the dried fruits in particular that you buy at the store have sulfite in them. And that causes a lot of people problems. So when you dry your own, you just don't have to use them. So that's a pretty good reason, too.
What's the principle here? With freezing, I get it, it's cold, so bacteria grow more slowly. With canning, you cook the heck out of it, in effect, and kill all the stuff. Why does drying keep food, help it last longer?
Well, drying is actually the oldest method of preservation, because if you think about what people had before refrigeration or electricity, they had dried foods. This is what they've been doing since the Stone Age. And the way that it works is that we're removing the majority of the water in the food, which gives the bacteria very little to grow on. So it's not that it's sterile, but it's just an inhostile environment for bacteria.
Let's get to the how. And there's different ways, different machinery. Most people are going to have an oven available to them. I understand that's not the ideal method, but it might be a good way to start. How does it work?
Okay, the oven is the way that most people will start because most people have one. And what I recommend people try first is drying some apples. It's real easy to do. It's a product you're familiar with. If you mess it up, you haven't spent a lot of money on something. And basically what you want to do is you have to have your oven probably about as low as it would go. 150 is pretty much the maximum temperature you want to dehydrate at. And a lot of modern ovens go to that temperature. Older ones kind of don't, so it's a little bit of a problem if you've got one of those. But if you have a modern one, you can crank it to 150 or lower, keep the door slightly open, and direct a little fan in there, which pushes the air around, and then the moisture will also come out through the other side of the open oven door. So that's how we do it.
So circulation is a key no matter the method, it sounds like, because if you're getting the moisture out, but it's just enclosed in an oven with all the stuff, some of it's going to go back in.
That's absolutely right. And a lot of, when people do get into purchasing dehydrators, there's a lot of really cheap entry-level models that don't have a fan. Those aren't even worth buying because all it's doing is heating the food and the moisture can't escape. So the better dehydrators, and I'm not talking about super expensive ones, just the good ones that you'd want to buy, have a little fan unit in them and the air circulates around, blows over the food, and blows out the top.
And it sounds like if we get the dehydrating bug and we really want to do a lot of stuff, the only way to go is to get one of those dehydrators or make one. You have instructions on making our own.
I do have instructions on making one. It's a kind of a bulky thing. It works really well. The plans in the book that I have make a fantastic dehydrator. Old plans that you see for homemade dehydrators all rely on incandescent light bulbs, which, as you know, are being phased out. So my plans rely on some other technology, which is kind of a newer style of being able to make that. But it's certainly easiest to get into a decent entry-level dehydrating system. You can get one for about $50. Which isn't too bad.
It's got to have a fan. No fan, don't bother.
Got to have a fan. No fan, no ticky, no washy.
Now, some people love the sun-dried tomatoes you can get at the store. Is the sun really an option in a place like Wisconsin for much of the year?
You know, really it isn't. We just don't have enough reliable sun. Plus, it's too humid here. I mean, the Midwest is intensely humid. And most commercially dried fruit that you buy is done in California in the sun, like raisins really are made in the sun. Sun-made raisins really are made in the sun, but it's not humid out there. And they have abundant sun, high temperatures. They have everything they need. Here in the Midwest, our food would tend to spoil because it's so humid. Even when it's hot in the summer, it's humid, and it just doesn't work.
We're talking to Teresa Maroney, author of The Beginner's Guide to Making and Using Dried Foods. And she's giving us some advice on not just making dried foods, but using it in our cooking. Let's get into a little of that, Teresa. You mentioned those apples as a good starting point, and you gave us a recipe for crumb-topped dried apple pie. That's up on the Central Time Facebook page. Talk us through that recipe.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing to try. It's kind of an old-fashioned recipe, and it's not like a big high apple pie that you're used to, because the fruit is dry. It does rehydrate, but it remains a little bit flat. It's more like you'd think of the filling in a pastry or something like that. It has an intense apple flavor. It's really a wonderful pie. I've heard some people don't like it. I think it's way better than standard apple pie. And basically, you're just taking dried apples, and you can dry your own, or you can actually buy apples and do this too if you want to try it. And you're rehydrating them a little bit, putting them in a pie crust, putting a crumb topping on, and baking it. So it's fairly straightforward, except that you're starting with a dried product.
When I think of drying, all I've ever dried at home is fruit, apples, and I think pears. But you've got a lot of vegetables going on here. What are good vegetables to start with for people who want to start
I think you cut out for a minute there. Right now, the best vegetables are the things that are in season. Squash is fantastic to dry. That works really well. Winter squash, pumpkins, that kind of squash are really great to dry. Cabbage, surprisingly, dries really well. Something else that dries really well that's in season right now, and people don't think of this, is eggplant. And it's one of the foods that's actually improved quite a bit by dehydrating. Because if you slice eggplant and dehydrate it, then when you rehydrate it, it doesn't have that kind of slimy, soft texture that cooked eggplant often has. It stays a little bit firmer, which is really nice.
If we're drying eggplant, or I think you mentioned zucchini in the book too, are these things, you know, I could just eat dried apples, right? Can I just munch on dried zucchini and eggplant?
Dried zucchini you certainly can, and in fact that's the best thing to do with it, because if you rehydrate zucchini that's been dried, it's going to be pretty darn soft. I mean, it's going to seem overcooked. So actually the way that a lot of people do zucchini and cucumbers, they slice it maybe a quarter inch thick and dehydrate it, and then they use it as a substitute for like a vegetable chip. It's crisp but not crunchy. It's not like a potato chip because it's not fried, but they're nice with dip, and they're nice on salads, and they're nice for snacking. Dried squash, pumpkins and things like that, winter squash, would be pretty chewy. It certainly wouldn't hurt you to eat it, but I don't think you'd like it all that well. But that is really fabulous to cook with. And you can, for example, mash some cooked pumpkin and dehydrate that in a layer and then just keep it at room temperature, and when you want to make a pie, you just rehydrate it with a little bit of warm water, and it's way better than canned pumpkin. Really good.
Another recipe you gave us brings a slow cooker into the equation. You've got a slow cooker pork chops with root vegetables. First, tell us about drying those root vegetables. I think there are turnips involved there, and then cooking them back up in the slow cooker.
The slow cooker is actually ideal for that because it gives the long, slow rehydration that really makes the vegetables taste fantastic, and they're very tender when you do that. There's also dried apples in that one, and that's a super easy thing. You've just dried slices of parsnips or rutabagas or turnips or whatever you want, basically, and then you layer it into a crock pot with some pork chops and some onion and the vegetables and some liquid, and plug her in, and you're done. It's really very easy. It's really satisfying and really good.
We're talking to Teresa Maroney. She is the author of The Beginner's Guide to Making and Using Dried Foods. Preserve fresh fruits, vegetables, herbs, and meat with a dehydrator, a kitchen oven, or the sun. And we want to hear from you. Have you done this? Do you dry fruits and veggies? What's your setup? What kind of gear do you use? Do you have a favorite way to use those dried foods? Have you ever tried to dry food and it didn't come out quite right? Maybe Teresa can troubleshoot for you. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email talk@WPR.org or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Check out some Food Friday recipes while you're there. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our Food Friday conversation about drying foods, how to dry them, and then how to cook with them. We have Teresa Maroney with us. She's the author of The Beginner's Guide to Making and Using Dried Foods. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions or your success stories or failure stories. You can also post at the Central Time Facebook page. We've got a few recipes from Teresa posted there. We'll go right to our callers. Anne is with us in Wautoma. Anne, hi.
Hi. I'm calling to ask if I could put a fan either next to or over my dehydrator. I just received it as a gift, but it does not have a fan in it.
Oh, interesting. Any luck there, Teresa? Can she just put an external fan there?
It depends on what type of setup it is. You have to be able to direct the food sort of across, the air across the food while not getting it entirely out of the warm air. So with most of the dehydrators that you can buy that have a fan, is a stacking series of trays that's on a base that produces both heat and air. So the air and the heat both blow through simultaneously. So depends on the design of your dehydrator. If it's got an open side that you could direct a fan into that wouldn't disrupt the heat too much, I think you could try it. It's certainly worth a try. The other thing you can do, depending on what you have, you could use those racks in your oven if you have an oven that goes low enough. One of the hardest things people encounter when trying to make a homemade dehydrator is, what am I going to use for a rack? And it sounds like you've already got some racks, so you're kind of heads up on that one.
And good luck. And Teresa, are there any things that might do better in that fanless dehydrator than others? Any fruits or vegetables that you might be safer with?
I would certainly never try to dehydrate something like jerky in a thing like that, because that jerky is one of the harder things to do from a food safety standpoint. It has to be done fairly hot, and you really do need to keep that air moving before it spoils. I would try things that can handle higher heat, which would be fruits. We want to dehydrate our fruits at like 135 typically. We want to dehydrate vegetables at 125, a lower temperature, and we want to dehydrate herbs at about 100. So I would go with something that could handle a little bit more heat and is less likely to spoil, which would be fruits. The natural sugars in fruits prevent spoilage.
And thanks a lot for that call, and good luck. 800-642-1234 is the number. Gabrielle in Viroqua is with us now. Gabrielle, hi.
Hi there.
What do you want to bring up?
Well, I had two ideas that I wanted to share. One was when you have the dried zucchini, and I guess you could do it with other vegetables as well, other items. When I dry zucchini, I dry it really crisp, and then I powder it, and I use it as a thickening agent in soups and things like that, and just adds nutrients and doesn't change the flavor too much. So I find that a really nice.
That's a great idea. That's something I do too. That's really a good idea.
Yeah, it's a really, really nice way to use up a lot of zucchini,
which we tend to get
a lot of, right?
Yes, it is.
And then I have a really nice recipe for what I call crunchies. I soak raw sunflower seeds, shelled, and I soak them for a few hours. Then I drain the water and sprout them just a little bit. And then I put them on dehydrator trays, and I salt them, or I put turmeric or curry or anything else on them, and I dehydrate them overnight, and they are a really nice, healthy snack.
Interesting.
That sounds excellent. What temperature do you do that at, Gabrielle?
I keep it really low.
Pretty low.
I like things in my dehydrator done at 110 or lower, generally.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'm sure they can be done higher, and then I just leave them overnight. So I just turn my dehydrator on overnight, and in the morning I have these lovely crunchies. I've done it with other nuts and seeds too, but the best is sunflower seeds.
Gabrielle,
that
thanks.
Just sounds great.
That does, Gabrielle. Thanks for sharing that with us. And that reminds me, she mentioned pre-treating those sunflower seeds, soaking them in this case. You write, Teresa, that a lot of different vegetables need some kind of pre-treatment, often blanching, hitting them in boiling water. Why do they need that? What needs that pre-treatment?
What that's doing, it's the same thing that you do to vegetables before you freeze them. You give them a quick blanch in steam or in boiling water, and it stops some of the bacterial action that causes decay. It's the exact same thing you do when you freeze. You can dehydrate without doing this, but the vegetables will darken and will begin to deteriorate more quickly. They'll be tougher, and they'll be a little bit less enjoyable to eat. But back in the old days, people did it without blanching all the time. So you certainly can do it. You just get a better, kind of softer product that rehydrates better and doesn't turn dark so much, just the same as with freezing.
Talking to Teresa Maroney about drying foods. She's the author of The Beginner's Guide to Making and Using Dried Foods. She covers fruits, vegetables, herbs, meats, everything you could dry. She talks about it in her book, and you could still join in at 800-642-1234. Nathan is with us in Waukesha now. Nathan, hi.
Hi. I'm just calling with a personal experience. A couple of years ago when I was in school, my roommate found a way to build your own dehydrator. Mm-hmm. So we made our own jerky by getting a box that was maybe, I don't know, 12 by 12 by 15 inches and hanging pieces of meat off of shish kebab sticks, mm-hmm. Cutting a hole in the bottom, cutting a hole in the top, and putting an incandescent bulb in the bottom and just letting convection move the air.
And how long did it take till you had edible jerky, Nathan?
About 3 days.
And was this in a dorm or an apartment?
Apartment at the time.
Okay.
In hindsight, it wasn't the best idea, but nobody got sick, and it worked out pretty well.
Well, good, good. Nathan, thanks so much. So it's something you can do, but as he said, nobody got sick. Got to be maybe a little extra careful with meat, trying to make jerky, Teresa.
Yeah, and, you know, you would want to be sure of the source of your meat, be sure that it's fresh quality meat. I certainly would not do that with poultry or fish, but with beef you could probably, or venison, you could probably get away with that. And that's very similar, well, obviously back in the old days, cavemen didn't have boxes and mm-hmm. shish kebab skewers and stuff like that, but it's very similar to air drying that has been done for centuries, and it would be probably quite chewy done that way, but it would probably be pretty good.
All right, college ingenuity. Back to our callers now with Scott on the line in Rockford. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I have one of those round dehydrators that has a fan, and I tried making beef jerky, and mm-hmm. the bottom layer, like, dried out really, really tough. And the top layer was, like, kind of soft and better, but it's not even. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions on that.
Yeah, I'll give you a tip on that. The round dehydrator you're talking about is probably like the American Harvester Snackmaster or something like that. That's a very typical one, and I use one of those myself all the time. And the instructions will tell you that you don't have to rotate the racks, and that is not true. You do. So what I do is when I'm doing something, especially something like jerky that's going to be drying for a pretty long time, I'll set a timer for at the beginning once an hour and then once every 2 hours, and I'll take the top rack off, I'll put it on the table, I'll pick up the stack, I'll put the top rack on the bottom position, and then put the stack back on. So I'm rotating the racks through the position, if you know what I mean, once an hour at the beginning and then every 2 hours once things are starting to go. And that will make all the trays receive even heat, because if you didn't do that, that bottom tray just got toasted and the top tray was getting the air and moisture blowing over it, so it wasn't getting adequately dried. And as I say, the instructions always say you don't have to rotate them, and with that type of dehydrator, you do.
Scott, good luck. I hope that helps, and bring some by next time you're in our area. We'll go next to Gabriel in Chicago. Gabriel, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you got for us?
I have a surplus of plums from the summer harvest. And I'm wondering the best way to prepare or make plum dessert, maybe, with a dried plum dessert. Do you have any suggestions?
So you've already dried them?
No, they're not dried yet.
Oh, you have to dry them. Okay. With plums, you want to cut them in half to get the pit out, of course. And if they're small, you can just dry them the way that they are. They are not like commercial prunes. I mean, prunes are plums, but when you dry your own, they're kind of, your own will be a lot better than that.
And let's leave them, we're just about out of time, Teresa, but leave them with a tip for a recipe once he gets those dried up.
I would throw them together in a pan and with a little bit of hot water to rehydrate them and make a cobbler out of them. That's what I love to do with them.
So you just get those lumps of dough and drop them
mm-hmm.
in? Great.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yep.
Teresa, before we let you go, briefly, what's your next drying project?
Oh, I'm still working on some fall things like squash and pumpkins and kale, making kale chips
Ooh.
And making some snack chips and things like that. So it's kind of fun.
Sounds fantastic. Teresa, thanks so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed talking with you.
That was Teresa Maroney. She is the author of The Beginner's Guide to Making and Using Dried Foods. Preserve fresh fruits, vegetables, herbs, and meat with a dehydrator, a kitchen oven, or the sun. Except we learned not so much the sun here in Wisconsin. She joined us today from North Shore Community Radio, WTIP, in Grand Marais, Minnesota. Head over to the Central Time Facebook page. We have three recipes, including dried green tomatoes. Didn't get to talk about that, but you can check it out and give it a try.